Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Zechariah the priest was ministering at the altar of incense when the angel Gabriel showed up to give him good news. In the Bible, incense is frequently associated with prayer. In Psalm 141, which was also part of tonight's liturgy, we read, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." In Revelation 8, we behold an angel at the altar in heaven's throne room. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. John even tells us in chapter 5 that the incense rising up before God in heaven is the prayers of the saints. Prayer and incense go together, which is why the congregation gathered outside the temple were praying. No doubt Zechariah prayed as well. But what did he pray about? Perhaps Zechariah and the congregation prayed for freedom, as the country of the Jews was occupied by foreign legions of the Roman Empire. Maybe he waited and prayed for Messiah to come, as did Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. More likely than not, Zechariah also prayed for himself and for his wife Elizabeth, that the Lord would open her womb and grant them a child. More than anything, Zechariah and Elizabeth longed for a child. Children were a blessing and a reward from God. And in addition to the joy of hearing children's voices in the home and enlarging our love, Jewish children were a sign that God kept his promise to make a great nation out of Father Abraham and to send Messiah from that family line. So to not have children in Israel was a great disgrace. Indeed, Elizabeth's infertility caused her great embarrassment and shame in her community. But now Zechariah and Elizabeth were too old to get pregnant. Maybe Zechariah didn't pray for a baby anymore. Maybe he had given up on getting a miracle from God. Some of you can relate to this great sadness and the emptiness of Zechariah and Elizabeth. More than anything, you want a baby. You've prayed, you've waited for so long. Maybe you've prayed and waited a long time for a husband so that you could have a baby in the right way. Maybe you cannot get pregnant, or maybe you've lost babies to miscarriage, or maybe your adoption did not go through. Whatever the tragedy of your circumstances might be, God has not permitted you to have children, at least not yet. And so you've settled on fur babies. You call your dogs and cats your babies. You dole out extra attention on the nieces and the nephews. But in your aching heart, you know that these are not a suitable substitute for children of your own. You smile, you put on a good face, but at the end of the day, it's not what you prayed for. Luke tells us that Zechariah and Elizabeth had no child because she was barren and both were advanced in years. Yet even that statement sounds like a dead end to all hopes of having a family, any reader of the Old Testament knows that the mention of infertility is a clue. It's a foreshadowing that God is about to do something big. Infertility was a perennial issue with each generation of the patriarchs. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, they were all barren until God promised them sons and opened their wombs. And in two of those three cases, it specifically says it was in response to prayer that God opened their wombs. God was about to do the same for Zechariah and Elizabeth. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah," said the angel Gabriel, "for your prayer has been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Your prayer has been heard. Wonderful words. Which of us wouldn't love for God to send us an angel sometime to give us the message that God has heard our prayers? Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Do not be afraid, Mike. Do not be afraid, Ava. Do not be afraid, Karen or Mary. God has heard your prayer. Zechariah, we're told, was a righteous man. And the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective as it is working. And Elizabeth was a righteous woman. They were people who believed and trusted God's word. They were righteous by faith in God's promises. And so their prayers were powerful. They worked. They prayed. And God listened. But this time, Zechariah did not believe what God said. It was too good to be true. "How shall I know this?" he said. "I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years." But Gabriel, whose name in Hebrew means God's warrior or God's hero, was not one to be brushed off so easily. "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you this good news. So if you don't believe it, I will prove it to you." Gabriel assured Zechariah that God keeps his promise and it would be done just as he spoke. Zechariah was dumbfounded, literally. The angel told him he would not be able to speak until Johnny was born, and that way he would know that God's word is true. For nothing is impossible with God. Soon enough, Elizabeth conceived a child. Her baby would be born a few months before Jesus and grow up to be John the Baptist, who would go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. John the Baptist was the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." The prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth worked. So what about you and I? Do our prayers work? And if they do, for what ought we to pray? Again, the prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. We are righteous people, not because we do good things, but because Christ has done all good things for us. Because we are a people made righteous by the blood of Jesus shed for our forgiveness. We're justified by faith in his word. His good promises, his good news to you and me. God sent Gabriel to speak good news to Zechariah, and God sends people in our lives, especially pastors, but parents also, and teachers and fellow Christians, to speak good news to us. And when we believe that word, we know that our prayers are made powerful. That's why the Apostle Paul urges us to pray without ceasing and to pray for all people. But during the season of Advent, this time of preparing, not just for Christmas, but for the return of the King, there's one particular prayer that we ought to pray. Maranatha. That's what it is in Aramaic. Come, Lord. Or more specifically for us, come, Lord Jesus. Return to us, Lord. End our waiting and bring our hope to sight. That's what we pray for when we sing the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. For the redemption of Israel, the consolation of God's people. What we long for even more than children of our own is for God's child to come to us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, who came once at Christmas all those years ago, but now, crucified, risen, and ascended, he promises to come again. And so we pray. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. In last Sunday's epistle, St. Peter reminded us that our time on earth is a never-ending Advent, a season of waiting for Christ coming again. And in the midst of our disappointments and distress, we can become distracted or lose hope or stop expecting him to come. That was actually, well, I'll leave that for Sunday. But the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. He always keeps his word. So if Jesus says that he is coming back, he will return. Truly, Jesus says he doesn't know the day or hour, at least before his glorification. And yet the apostle hints at the surprising fact that we, the people of God, can actually hasten his return. I don't know if you've ever realized that, but Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, see what kind of people you should be waiting for and hastening the coming of the Lord. The scripture says that we can help Jesus hurry up. We can move forward, the hands of the clock. How do we do that? Well, we're never told specifically in the scripture, but I think by putting two and two together to get five, just kidding, two and two to make four, that it's this prayer, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't the prayer that says, come, Lord, be the one that would help him to hasten and return? It is the last prayer in the Bible. Did you know that? The very last prayer in the Bible, spoken in response to Jesus' promise in Revelation 22, verse 20, where he says, surely I am coming soon. Verse 21 says, come, Lord Jesus. Come, precious Son of God. Forgive our sins. Return to us. Set the world to rights. We have been waiting for a long time. Make us ready, Lord. And Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.